Chevy Equinox with forward collision alert, automatic emergency braking, and available all-wheel drive. It's my ultimate mobile device. Go to ChevyDriveChicago.com to schedule a test drive. Chevy Equinox. It's your choice. Own it.
About 6 years ago, or 6 years ago exactly. No, how long ago? Will Calloway, you got to help me here. 6 years ago when Laquan McDonald, we all learned about him. It is his birthday today, and he would have been 23. Such a turning point in our city's history, of course, when that videotape was released. It's relevant to what's happening now across the country for sure. But you were one of, I think, two people just instrumental in getting a hold of that videotape, which city officials did not want us to see, and releasing it to the public so that all could see what had happened there that day. Welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me.
Put in perspective what that was like then, and the kind of the fight that you were up against to, you know, you must have learned about something and you wanted that to be it to be known what had happened.
Yeah, I think for your listeners, it's important to notate it was because of the death of a black woman, Rakia Boyd. Rakia Boyd, she was another black woman in the city of Chicago that was shot and killed by the hands of a Chicago police officer, Dante Servin. In 2015, Dante Servin, he went on trial for involuntary manslaughter for the death and shooting of Rakia Boyd. The charges were they ultimately were dismissed for technical reasons by Judge Dennis Porter. It was after that, in April of 2015, that I started to go into the pursuit of, you know, trying to really bring people to understand what Chicago Police Department was doing to black and brown men and women in this city was a real thing. They was shooting people and killing people with impunity. But I do always want to point out it was because of the death of that black woman that made me go after the release of the Laquan McDonald video along with independent journalist Brandon Smith in 2015.
Okay, and so as we know, we would just to flash back to that moment, we knew that the mayor didn't want it released. He was pressuring everyone else, and Rahm Emanuel did not want it released. And I think it was after the election when it was released. Is that right?
That's correct. That's correct. The mayor at the time did not want the video to release. In fact, it took the city 400 days for them to even release the video. All we knew that the officer in question name was Jason Van Dyke, and all we had was the Pat Camden, who was a former spokesperson for the Chicago, the FOP, was saying that at first they said a 21-year-old man lunged at police with a knife, and officers shot him once in the chest, fatally wounding him. But as we know, months later, Jamie Calvin ended up requesting the FOIA, the autopsy of Laquan McDonald, and we all saw that he was shot 16 times. Then I heard about the existence of the dash cam footage, and then we ultimately filed the FOIA and sued the city and eventually won. But make no mistake about it, the Chicago Police Department, in connection with the mayor's office at that time, did not want this footage to come out. And they intentionally sat on this video for 400 days because of reelection purposes and political purposes.
Yeah, I mean, you raised such a good point there, because the narrative, and I remember we were reporting on it at the time, that it did not match what the video actually ended up showing, plain and simple. And when you talk about police reform, and now we are making efforts, maybe more than ever, to try to build trust within police and communities, and that does not build trust between police and communities when moments like that happen. I know that Rahm Emanuel fired the police superintendent, Gary McCarthy, at that time, and Gary said, hey, I'm just the fall guy for all this. This is them. I mean, I don't even know who you want to believe there, but at the end of the day, that does not build trust when you do not own up to something that happens.
And that's correct. And when we're talking about policy moving forward, you know, today we're doing a celebration and commemoration for Laquan McDonald in my neighborhood of South Shore this evening at 5:30 p.m. on 71st and Chappelle. So on 71st and Chappelle at 5:30, we'll be celebrating the life of Laquan McDonald and lifting his name up, along with many more names that have lost their lives to police violence. We'll be doing a 400-count balloon release. We're doing a balloon release for each day that we did not know what Jason Van Dyke looked like. And when we're talking about policy, it's correlated because the reason we did not know what Jason Van Dyke looked like for so long is because of the Fraternal Order of Police contract. There's a specific provisions in that contract that creates barriers to that makes it hard to hold sworn officers accountable for misconduct. For instance, in Section 6.4 in the Bill of Rights, it specifically states that the Chicago Police Department is prohibited from releasing the picture of any sworn officer for any reason unless he or she is convicted of a crime. So this is why for 400 days, even though that it was high public interest because of the current contractual agreement between the FOP union and the city of Chicago, our communities are prohibited from finding out the identification of any officer that's in question for any type of misconduct, not just a police shooting. It could be an illegal search, a false arrest, anything. And this is because of the police contract. And I wanted to make it abundantly clear that it's because of this police contract that makes it hard to hold police accountable. And tonight I'll be hosting, after the commemoration event, I'll be hosting what I call a reimagined FOP contract teach-in, where I will be breaking down all the provisions in the contract that are problematic to the city of Chicago residents.
Well, you have been speaking up for police accountability and transparency for years. You are not new to this fight. Can I ask you an uncomfortable question that I honestly want to know the answer to?
Sure.
We're starting to see more violent tactics in some of the demonstrations, not all of them, but some of them for sure. And we're starting to see some more untraditional, more radical tactics as well, surrounding people at restaurants, you know, kind of approaching people, making them, you know, raise their fists or say things. Is this part of the necessary way to get to where we need to be? Or do you believe in those kinds of tactics? Do you think that's necessary, or are you against them?
I think everybody who's been following me or just now starting to follow me, listen, I want everybody to know that we believe in peace. We believe in peaceful demonstrations, just to say that. We believe in nonviolence. But we do believe in civil disobedience. We do believe in being disruptive. We do believe in being loud when necessary. We do believe in transformative justice and making sure that we reform and transform policies. These are the things that we do believe in. But what I also have to make clear is that what we are seeing in cities like Chicago and all across the country, this is the manifestation of years and years of oppression, years of being brutal. Brutalized and not receiving justice. I think it's hard for anybody to really understand that if they don't have that shared lived experience that you do. And I think what we're seeing across the city is that, again, that manifestation of all of this brutality, not receiving justice, and people trying to figure out how to really use that energy in a productive way. Sometimes it comes out productive, sometimes it doesn't. But me as a leader and leaders all across the country, we have to find ways such as getting the movement and these movements to focus in on policy, not just on disruption, which I am a huge proponent of, but also focus on these policies. Policies such as the FOP contract. Because, personally for me, we've tried everything else here in Chicago. We've done major demonstrations where we disrupted the largest economic retail corridor in the city of Chicago, which was the Mag Mall on Black Friday in 2015. We've ousted the former Cook County State's Attorney. We pushed out the former top cop, Gary McCarthy, and we even forced the former one of the most prolific, if not arguably one of the most prolific political people in this country, Rahm Emanuel, not to run again. So we've garnered wins, right? But what we have to start focusing in on is these policies, these hyper-local policies, such as the Large 7 FOP contract. It is very hazardous. It's very dangerous to everybody, not just black and brown people, but anybody that might be afflicted by police misconduct. And I just want to say this lastly. It's important for your listeners to know, don't wait until you are a victim or might be a victim of police misconduct to advocate for this. Be proactive. I think the true heart and spirit of a Chicagoan is speaking up. That's what we're known for. We're very boisterous in speaking our opinions and letting our minds, what we feel, letting it be known. And I think as Chicagoans, we have to speak up about what's what's not right, what's unjust, even if it doesn't directly affect us. We need to speak up for our neighbors in the city of Chicago.
That's right, and I've tried to do that in my journalism career as a crime reporter. When I saw things that didn't seem right, didn't smell right, didn't feel right, even though I'm a supporter of police, I tried to expose those things too. And there's no doubt you've been able to shine a light on these issues yourself. And this is a moment in time. This is definitely a moment in time when the path forward can look much brighter as we listen to each other. Are you hopeful? Are you hopeful about the future and the path ahead?
Yeah, I am. I think I've made it this far being hopeful. My spirituality teaches me to have faith and to have hope. I'm consciously optimistic because I also have, this a practicality that I have to be faced with because, listen, this is probably an unpopular opinion, but an unpopular truth. Like, as an organizer and as a black man in the city of Chicago, I'm going to say, like, this Chicago Police Department has taken 2 to 3 large steps back since Eddie Johnson has been dismissed. I'm talking about far as public safety and far as police relations. I saw great strides from 2000. I have to be honest. I saw great strides with the department from 2016 up to the end of last year. With Eddie Johnson's dismissal, I want to make this completely clear. As an organizer, as somebody that's in the community fighting against gun violence, fighting against police violence, this city has taken 2 to 3 huge steps back since the dismissal of Eddie Johnson. And that concerns me. What this current state of Chicago Police Department, it really concerns me, because now I'm having flashbacks of a police department that was under Rahm Emanuel, under Gary McCarthy.
Well, you don't want to see that.
Police department.
Well, I'm out of time. Can you tell me how people can reach you, can see more about your platform and get involved in what's happening this weekend?
Absolutely. Please text REIMAGINE to 56525. That's text REIMAGINE to 56525 for more updates about the campaign.
Thank you, Will. Thanks for checking in with us. That's William Calloway there.